Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Dr. Keith Leonard. Good morning to you, Dr. Leonard.
Good morning, Levon. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, and I hope everybody else's pets are doing great this morning, too. And we're going to talk mostly about pets. I guess that's my main interest.
Absolutely.
And it's also a great part of your business.
It is. It's now actually 97.2% of my business, which is kind of, or 92.5, I guess.
Okay.
So it is a big part of my business these days.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had such a mild winter. Usually we're talking about, oh, be sure they don't freeze, be sure they get enough water. And we still need to be sure we do that. But that maybe raised some other problems.
It has. Parasites are a big one. We've seen more worms this year. We had a fall tick hatch. So I expect this spring we're going to have ticks, and we're going to have a lot of them, and we're going to have them early.
So be prepared.
Be prepared. Looking, thinking about what's going to happen this spring.
And do we have several choices for killing fleas and their eggs? I mean, is there anything they can take internally, or is it all applied outside, or what are kind of choices there?
My favorites are the ones that are applied outside, and there's only two basically on the market that I prefer to use. One would be Frontline, which is what we use mostly in our office because of economics. The other one is Advantage. They both work very well. They work good on dogs and cats both. And the reason I like them is they don't get into the bloodstream. Most of the over-the-counter products that you can purchase on the OTC side, over-the-counter, is products that get in the bloodstream. The way the flea dies is he takes a blood meal and then he dies. The way Frontline and Advantage work is he dies before he feeds. Now, my idea of flea control is don't bite my animal. And so I prefer the two.
Or me.
Or me, preferably, yes. You know, and one of the big things that people forget, and I keep trying to remind people, all of the entire flea population, only 5% are adults. 95% are either eggs, larva, or pupa. Now, that means that if you killed every single flea that's alive in the world today, tomorrow you would have more because you can't kill the other forms. Particularly the pupa is impossible to kill. Eggs and larva, we can now chemically change them so they can't reproduce. But kill off all the adult fleas and you haven't done anything. So giving baths is absolutely a waste of your time. Not that you shouldn't give your dog a bath, but it's a waste of your time, to be honest.
And I see a few powders and so on. They're not as effective?
Same thing. They have to be put on every single day. Make sure that they're on there all the time. Powders around small children are probably not a good idea. They pet the dog. They put their hands in their mouth. We lovingly refer to the 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds as hand-to-mouthers. They play with the dog and put their hands in their mouth immediately. Comes up the idea of parasites again. If we have worms in the dog, it's the way kids get worms. They eat the dog poop or cat poop because they pick them up with one hand underneath their rear.
Right, yeah. Even if it's maybe a few are on purpose, but much of it's inadvertently.
Absolutely inadvertent. Yep, absolutely inadvertent.
Other concerns that you've had with dogs and cats, just ongoing?
Well, one of the things that's going on right now is I'm seeing people, because of the economic conditions, not vaccinating their dogs. I've actually had more parvo cases this year than I've had in about the last 3 years. And that's unfortunate. Puppies, and if you listen to the thing on every Thursday morning, my ad says puppies need a series of shots, and they do. We start at 6 weeks, 10 weeks, and 14 weeks to properly immunize a puppy. And if you don't do that, parvo is a big deal for you. Of the parvo cases we've had just recently, one of them passed away very suddenly. The other one did survive, but it had had one vaccination. It didn't have any follow-ups, but it had one, and so that was a plus for the dog. Everything you do is good. The distemper, hepatitis, lepto, parainfluenza, parvo, which is a yearly vaccination, is the one that protects your dog. Rabies is actually given to protect you. And we have laws in Iowa for rabies. Rabies is required in dogs. And the law says you shall have had your dog vaccinated for rabies by the time they're 6 months old. That doesn't mean you got to wait to 6 months. It means it's got to be done before 6 months. And it's the law. It's against the law not to do that. So please get those done. We've also changed how we interpret the law nowadays. This is new this year. Hasn't been this way for 40 years, but now it is. If you're 1 day late, have your expiration date, the new rabies is only good for 1 year. If you're in before your expiration date, it's good for 3 years. So when we send you those little cards, pay attention.
Is there any short explanation for that?
Change in just the way we're interpreting the law. If you think about it, once it's expired, it's expired. Now, whether the dog is still protected or not is up for grabs. Okay. Now, in Iowa, you do not have to vaccinate cats for rabies. Apparently, the cats had a better lobby in the legislature than the dogs. The dogs lost out, and they have to get shots, and the cats apparently don't. However,
good idea, though.
However, most of the rabies exposures from domestic animals are coming from cats, not from dogs. And that's probably the reason. So remember, rabies is to protect you and your family. The other vaccinations are protect your animal.
Okay. So get those rabies shots, your other shots. If you're going to have a pet, take care of it.
Please do. Please do. Sometimes, you know, we think, oh, we just give them any old food and give them some water and they'll be fine. And you know what? That's really not true. Premium foods on the market today are very, very good. It's one of those things that's changed in the last 40 years. And we talked a minute ago about changes before we started. And believe me, the nutrition available to your pets today is absolutely tremendous compared to what it was 40 years ago.
Maybe better than humans.
Probably we could eat it and get along just fine, to be real honest with you. Some of it may be better than what I eat.
Some of it smells pretty good, too.
Yes, it does.
Talking about 40 years, and of course, you've been in business for 40-plus years now. What are some of those big changes you've seen in those years?
Protection of animals, both livestock as well as our pets, preventing disease. Preventing disease has been the giant thing. When I started practice, there was no parvo vaccine. We didn't even know it was a parvo disease. That came along in the 70s, and at first we didn't have a vaccine. Parvovirus in dogs is a parvovirus. Distemper in cats is a parvovirus. So we gave cat vaccines to dogs hoping it would do any good. Well, after it was all over, we found out we would have had to given 100 doses to do any good, but it was something to try, and it didn't work very well. But at any rate, what we now have are great vaccines. In the livestock industry, the same thing has happened. We used to vaccinate cows for generally four things when I started practice. Now we routinely vaccinate for 13 things. And not because we have new diseases, it's because we now know what those diseases were. Texas fever used to be a big disease. We brought a lot of cattle from Texas up in here. We now know that's Haemophilus salmonis. So we now know what it is. We have a vaccine for it. We don't see it like we did ever.
Mm-hmm. And to me, when I look at the big world, the whole scene for pets, obviously, you know, because you're taking care of a lot more, they've been much more integrated into the household. I mean, I can see that in my life when I was growing up. I didn't know anybody who carried their pets around and treated their pets. They might have had them in their house, but they didn't carry them around and take care of them the way people do now and just kind of adopt them as a part of the family.
Absolutely. It's called the human-animal bond. When I was a kid on the farm, we had several dogs, and every one of them was named Pal. That way my dad didn't have to learn a new name. He just named every dog Pal. So all the dogs were Pal growing up. And that's the way we felt about them. If something happened to the dog on the farm, we got another dog. Our family, we just named him the same thing, so it was easy. But nowadays, this is a real part of most people's lives, and I don't mean just some people. The vast majority of pet owners love their pets. They are sometimes surrogate children, sometimes surrogate spouses. They are part of their lives. A lot of dogs sleep with their animals, with their owners. Maybe that's the correct thing to say. Maybe the animal is the primary and the people
right.
are the secondary.
Yeah, yeah.
And we run into that occasionally, too, where the dog becomes dominant in the house, and that's not really the way it's supposed to be. You really are still supposed to be the dominant person in your house, no matter how much you love your dog.
And you said the human-animal bond. And we're finding out how much more animals can service us in so many ways. I think that's just a whole fascinating field, Dr. Leonard.
It is. And the one that is fascinating to me right now are the prisons that are training service dogs. People, particularly, it's been most effective, I think, in the women prisons. They've taken dogs in there. Those people have trained them to be service dogs, dogs that help people with some kind of disability, whether they bark when they answer the phone or when the phone rings, or they push them over to, I don't know, all kinds of things. Open the refrigerator door. They train them to do all kinds of things. The return rate, the recidivism rate for prisoners that work with dogs is almost nil. And the ones who don't, it's pretty high. I think that's a fascinating statistic.
Absolutely amazing. So,
and we hear the stories of the soldiers in the war zones bringing dogs home. And it's because they're a great companion, and they love us unconditionally, which is scary.
But very positive most
very
of the time.
Very positive.
Yes. We want to thank you very much for taking time to visit with us, Dr. Keith Leonard, and keeping us kind of up to date on the animal world.
Thanks, Levon. Uh-huh.
Till next time, here's a thought. Reputation is what men and women think of us. Character is what God and angels know of us.